الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. One of the main themes of the Quran Sharif is the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Time and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And the purpose for narrating and mentioning these incidents is not just to record or just to mention a historical record or for pastime or to tell a story for entertainment. But the objective and the purpose for narrating these incidents is to take a lesson. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah says that there's a great lesson in the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam for the people of intelligence. And therefore, these incidents will be repeated time and again. The incident of Musa alayhi salam is repeated in 28 paras of the Quran Sharif. So had the purpose been just to tell a story or for pastime, for entertainment, then Allah could have mentioned it once. But Allah mentions it again, time and again, so that we may take lesson. Now amongst the incidents that are mentioned in the Quran Sharif of the Anbiya alayhi salam, a very beautiful and unique incident is the incident of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. In fact, in the words of the Quran Sharif, it has been declared as Ahsan al-Qasas, that from amongst the most beautiful and unique incidents mentioned in the Quran Sharif, the best of incidents mentioned. Khalid ibn Ma'dan rahimahullah would say, such a beautiful and unique story, that Surah Yusuf wa Maryam, mimma yutafakkahu bihima ahlul jannah fil jannah. That even the people of Jannah, whilst in the midst of the enjoyment in Jannah, they will recite Surah Yusuf and Surah Maryam as an enjoyment, as a thing of pleasure, as a means of pleasure, they will recite the Surah Yusuf. And this Surah was revealed at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through a lot of grief and sorrow. It was known as the year of Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow and grief. It was at that time, around that time, that the support of Rasulullah ﷺ from within his home, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, had passed away. It was the same year that the uncle, Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah ﷺ, Abu Talib, had also passed away. Therefore, it was known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow. And the persecution of the kuffar was just on the increase. So amongst the reasons for the revelation of the surah was to console the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah ﷺ. That the message that was implied was that just as Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam went through so much of difficulty, difficulty upon difficulty, but after all that difficulty came ease. So basically the message was that after every difficulty will come ease. And therefore the hadith says, أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةِ انْتِظَارُ الْفَرَجِ. That the best type of ibadat is that when a person is in any difficulty, he anticipates an opening. He has that yaqeen and conviction, that is the promise of Allah Ta'ala, that إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. That after every difficulty, with every difficulty, there's an ease. With every difficulty, there must come an ease. And the ulama, the mufassirin, explain that according to the laws of Arabic, the laws of grammar in this verse, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, it implies that with one difficulty comes two eases. With one difficulty comes multiple eases. Therefore the poet says, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. That when a person is overwhelmed with difficulty, a person is going through difficulty, then he should ponder over the surah أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. And when he, then he will see, fa'usrun bayna yusrain, he will see that one difficulty brings about, with one difficulty comes many eases, comes two or multiple eases. And then when he ponders over the surah, he should rejoice. فَفَكِّرْ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. So nevertheless, the first lesson that we learn from the surah, and the message that the surah is giving, is that when a person should, when he's in difficulty, he should always anticipate an opening. He should have this conviction that definitely after this difficulty will come ease. That Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam started off that his brothers envied him, and then they plotted against him, and they persuaded their father to take him for a stroll, and at first their father was refusing, but finally he allowed them. And as they were proceeding, They're taking him in sight of their father, so they place Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam on their shoulders, a young boy of 7 or 8 years, and he's proceeding. And they go in, and as they go, and they out of the sight of their father, then they throw him down. And they began kicking him and booting him and hitting him. And he's going to each one of them and asking them, just help me against the others, help me. And they're saying to him, what they say to him? That go to those 11 stars and the sun and the moon. You see in that dream? 11 stars, sun and the moon prostrated to you. Go to them and ask them to help you. Then they take him and they throw him into the well. And before, as they place him in the well, his fingers are holding on the walls of the well. And then he's pleading for the last time, please help me. And they push him down. Then he remains in that well for approximately 3 days. And then he's taken as a slave. He's sold as a slave. And then he goes into the house of the minister. He's bought by the minister, and he goes into the house of the minister, and then another test. The wife of the minister becomes infatuated with him. And then the woman of the town, they also persuade him to listen to the wife of the minister. And then, as a result, he refuses, and he ends up in the prison, languishes in prison for 7 long years. But after all the difficulty upon difficulty, the ulama explain, 40 years of difficulty, separate difficulty. But thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him and took him from the pit of that well to the throne. Allah granted him control over the finance of Egypt. He was an obeyed leader, honored minister. And Allah gathered him back with his father and his family. So after every difficulty will come ease. Therefore, Atta rahimahullah would say that لا يسمع سورة يوسف محزون إلا استراح إليها. That any person who is in depression, He's sad, he's grief-stricken, and he's going through some difficulty, if he contemplates over the contents of the Surah Yusuf, it will definitely bring him solace and comfort. It will bring to his heart solace and comfort. Why? Because this is the message of the Surah, that with every difficulty there must be ease. So nevertheless, the incident of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is well known, and it's a lengthy incident. But towards the end of the Surah, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he sums up his entire life. Sums up his entire life and the reason for his success. The reason for his prosperity and success in this world as well as in the akhirat. And he says to his brothers, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Basically 3 things. The first is, 3 things that has brought me this prosperity. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي. The first being the taqwa. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is basically taqwa? For a person primarily to refrain from all those things that are haram, from all types of sins. And thereafter to refrain from even those things that are doubtful. And this command of taqwa is perhaps the most repeated command in the Quran Sharif. Repeated command. Sometimes in one verse this command is repeated twice. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wal tanzuru nafsum ma qaddamat lighad wattaqullah. Sometimes an entire pillar of Islam, the fasting, has been ordained for this taqwa, to attain this taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ Then, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ And all the promises are on this taqwa. This taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يُعْذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Now this taqwa in the life of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, it's so glaring. When he was the wife of the minister was infatuated with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam exceptional beauty. That he was given, Nabi Sallam mentions, that I seen Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, on the occasion of Mi'raj, he was given, فَإِذَا حُسْنُ شَطْرُ الْحُسْنِ He was given half of the beauty of mankind. So beautiful Allah ta'ala had made him. So the wife of the minister had become infatuated with him, and she tried to seduce him. وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه. She tried to seduce him. وغلقت الأبواب, and she locked all the doors. Fasreen explained, there were seven doors. She locked all seven doors. وقالت هيت لك, and then she invited him to herself. Now at this point, we should understand the dilemma and the situation that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was in. He was a foreigner. He wasn't in his own land. So if for him to commit a sin is easier because people don't know of him. Secondly, he was a slave. A slave doesn't have that reputation, that honor amongst people. Then he was going through a lot of difficulty. When a person is in difficulty, generally he can be more prone to commit sin. And then it is as though his boss, his mistress is inviting him. She also is a beautiful woman. But despite all of that, his taqwa, qala ma'adallah, his immediate response was, I seek Allah's refuge. إِنَّهُ رَبِّ أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he has been so good to me? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Those who do sin and those who oppress themselves, they'll never be successful. So this was the first incident wherein we can see the taqwa of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam so glaring. Then again, thereafter, when he refused to give in to the wife of the minister, Zulaykha, then the woman of the town began speaking. And they say, see this, the mistress, she's trying to seduce her slave girl, her slave, trying to seduce her slave. And this rumor was passing around, so she heard of it, and she decided to invite them all. She invited them all for a meal, and then she gave all of them a knife. And she thereafter Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam appeared. As he appeared, when they seen his beauty, they began cutting off their hands. And then they realized that why she had become so infatuated with him. In hadha illa malakun kareem. He said, he's a noble angel, this. So then they persuade him to also give in to her request. So at this point, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's taqwa again comes out. Qala rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayh. Allah, the prison is more beloved to me than what these women are calling me towards. What these women are calling me, they are persuading me to give in. The prison is more beloved to me. And at that time, then the king had decided to imprison Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. And they had placed him on a donkey. And they played the drums and they paraded him throughout throughout Egypt, through the markets and everywhere. And the announcement was made that this is the punishment of the person who interferes with the wife of the minister. This is the punishment of the person who interferes with the wife of the minister. The student of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, whenever Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would narrate this hadith, this part of this incident, then he would cry. It's such an innocent person, and now he has to go through this disgrace. But he went through all of that just to save and to protect himself, to save himself from falling to sin. So the first quality of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, innahu may yattaqi his taqwa. And the second was, wa yasbir. His patience, his composure at the time of difficulty. That at the time of difficulty, he was very, very much composed. He never become excited. And the ulama explained that when a difficulty comes upon a person, and he's composed, he doesn't lose himself. He doesn't just utter anything. He doesn't lose himself. Then that difficulty, even if it is the size of a mountain, is a major difficulty. But it will become very, very insignificant. And on the other hand, if it's a small difficulty, and a person, he makes a big thing out of it, then it will seem like a mountain on his head. Therefore, Imam Musila Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would narrate an incident in this regards. He would say that at one point there was in the country, there was a certain, in the kingdom, there was a elephant that became loose. And it was running out, and everyone ran into their homes for security. And in there, they left a small child. They never realized that there was a small child on the road. They left him there, 4 or 5 years of age. And now the elephant is running on the main road. It's running, and in front is that child. It's heading in the direction of that child. So that child, all it done was, it seen a puppy there, small dog, a puppy. It took the tail, and it pulled the tail. And as it pulled the tail, that puppy made a strange sound. So the animal, the elephant, when it heard the strange sound, it turned around and it ran back into its cage. It became frightened, it ran back to its cage. So the lesson that Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would explain is, he says, see, such a major, like a difficulty problem. But the small child was composed at the time of this difficult situation. So it became easy for him. and the whole problem was handled so easily. And those people who those people who ran away, they were not composed at the time of difficulty. So the sabr, to be composed at the time of difficulty, not to complain, not to utter, make any type of utterances. In the life of Nabi Yusuf a.s., his sabr and his composure at the time of difficulty was so unique that Rasulullah himself expressed astonishment at the sabr of Nabi Yusuf a.s. لَوْ لَبِثْتُ فِي السِّجْنِ مَا لَبِثَ يُوسُفُ لَأَجَبْتُ الدَّاعِيَةِ. That had I remained, Rasulullah mentioned, had I remained in the prison as long as Nabi Yusuf a.s. remained, then I would have answered the caller. The king, when Nabi Yusuf a.s. was languishing in the prison, the king had a certain dream. So he wanted the interpretation, and someone had gone, and he had gotten the interpretation from Nabi Yusuf a.s. The king was very, very happy with this interpretation, and he wanted to meet Nabi Yusuf a.s. He wanted to meet Nabi Yusuf a.s. So when Nabi Yusuf a.s. And now you can understand, he was in the prison for 7 long years, and he was innocent. But when he came, he was going through this difficulty, but look at his composure at that time, at the time of difficulty. When the person comes to him, he says, irji' ila rabbik fas'alhu ma balu niswati allati qatta'na idiyahun. I'm not coming out of the prison. You go back to your master and tell him that he must see why those women, he must find out the reason why those women cut off their hands. So Rasulullah expressed his astonishment at the sabr of Nabi Yusuf a.s. Obviously Nabi a.s. said this out of humility. There couldn't be anyone's sabr greater than the sabr of Rasulullah s.a.w. But Nabi s.a.w. said, had I remained in the prison as long as Nabi Yusuf a.s. remained, I wouldn't be able to bear it, I would have answered the caller. The sabr of Nabi Yusuf a.s. And the third quality that was very, very glaring in the life of Nabi Yusuf a.s. إِنَّهُ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجَرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. His kindness and his compassion, even to those who were unkind and very, very bad to him, he was kind to them. أَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ. Like the teachings of Rasulullah, be kind to the one who's even evil to you, who's bad to you. So Nabi Yusuf a.s., when his brothers had caused him all such difficulty, 40 years of separation from his father, 40 years of difficulty, the time had come where his brothers had come in and then lengthy incident, but after some time they recognized him. When they recognized him, then they asked him for forgiveness. So his immediate response to them, قال لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. Today there's no blame upon y'all. No blame. Leave alone punishing y'all. I won't even blame y'all. And then Nabi Yusuf a.s., this wasn't his lip service. He practiced on it. Thereafter, when his father had come, then he's explaining to his father, he says to his father, مِن بَعْدِ أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. That this whole discord, this whole problem between me and my brothers, it wasn't them that caused it, it was shaitan. So he never even blamed them. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. May Allah forgive you, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَوَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. أحسن إلى من أساء إليك, to do good to the one who's even evil to you. And Rasulullah ﷺ, on the occasion of Fath Makkah, when he had entered Makkatul Mukarramah, now the Quraysh had caused the amount of difficulty that they caused to Rasulullah ﷺ, that if anyone believed in Rasulullah ﷺ, they also were punished. And to such an extent, Rasulullah ﷺ was forced to leave Makkatul Mukarramah. And as Rasulullah ﷺ is leaving Makkatul Mukarramah, he leaves, he comes on the outskirts, he stands on a mountain, and he looks at Makkah, and with tears in his eyes, he says, أَنْتِ أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَيَّ. You are the most beloved of towns to me. Had it not been for my people, I would have never left you. But they had expelled Rasulullah had left Makkatul Mukarramah. And finally, the 8th year of Hijri, Rasulullah returned, the occasion of Fath Makkah, and when he comes, he enters Makkatul Mukarramah. The historians explain that Rasulullah's tears were in his Mubarak eyes. And such humility, his Mubarak face was lowered to the extent that his beard was touching the hump of the camel. And with what words were coming out from the Mubarak tongue of Rasulullah? Alhamdulillah, alladhi wahdah nasara abdah wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdah. So only Allah alone that defeated the enemies. Only Allah alone who assisted his slave. The humility of Rasulullah. And thereafter, Rasulullah addresses the Quraysh. Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, ma tarawna anni fa'ilun bikum. What do you all think I will do to you all today? So they said, khayra, akhun kareem wabnu akhin kareem. You only have good hopes in you. You'll do good to us. So then Rasulullah says, فَإِنِّي أَقُولُ لَكُمْ كَمَا قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِإِخْوَتِهِ. Then I will say to you, what Nabi Yusuf a.s. said to his brothers, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَوَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Today, I won't blame you all, and may Allah forgive you all, and He's the most merciful of all those who show mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq.